めてシュートが決まった時のあの感じです。感動始まる。アップルマッキントッシュ。
Hello and welcome to the podcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfon Elijah. You like how I enunciated that this time? Joining me today, the French call him Le Bijou Grabber Bancal, which of course means the wobbly jewel grabber. Leander Caney is here. Well, when you have a few ales, you get a little wobbly, and then the jewels get grabbed. So I think it makes sense. Also joining us, whenever he does a hike shirtless, area Sasquatch sightings go up 32%. Buster Kind is here.
Hey.
Dude, you're going to get shot out there. You got to be careful.
I'm hairy, so it's easily mistakable for a muskrat or something. I don't know. Large water animal.
Well, I got to say, man, that pic that you posted on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's pure sugar.
Oh, with the nips out, you mean?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, did you see it, Leander?
No.
Don't even go look at it. It changes you on the inside. It changes you as a man.
Are you doing some crazy backflip off a cliff into some tiny little stream? No.
Let me set the scene for you. Buster's floating in a pool of water, glistening, right? And the camera angle is him holding the phone like down low in the water, shooting towards his face, and all you see is this magnificent beard. It's just sopping wet. And then you go down from there, and it just keeps getting better because you're like, ooh, yeah, that beard doesn't stop. It goes into the chest. And then they're like, hey, what are those two silver dollar looking things? Oh my goodness gracious.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
I had to go out and get one of those like those fans that open, you know, like those Asian fans, just fan myself. It's the best picture Buster's put on his Instagram yet. If you don't follow him, I'll link to it.
Yeah,
I'll link to it in the show notes.
Why don't we use it as the cover image for this week's episode?
Actually, maybe we should. I'll just put the cult cast over that bad boy. Think of the spike in downloads we'll have when people see that iTunes.
We'll attract a lot of bears.
Bears will be listening. Oh, for sure. Ladies, our lady listenership will go up 1,000% right there.
Yeah, right, from one to two.
We'll go exactly. We'll go from a majority male listenership to a majority female listenership. It's going to be great. We'll start doing like female ads for brassieres and stuff. Whole new world to open up to us. All right, Leander. Uh-huh. Before we hop into all the news this week, of which we have very much to talk about, do you want to go ahead and give a thanks to the Tunneling Bear?
I would, yes. I'd like to thank Tunnel Bear for sponsoring this episode of the Cultcast. Tunnel Bear is a super simple privacy app. It's making it very, very easy to privately and securely browse the internet. Definitely a must-have if you are on any kind of public hotspot in a cafe or an airport. You've got to have a VPN, and Tunnel Bear is the easiest and the nicest to use. It's so easy. My mom uses it. My brother uses it. We all pay for it. I've been paying for it for years. I use it all the time. So, yeah, I'd like to thank Tunnel Bear for sponsoring this episode. And if you want to get a free trial, go to gettunnelbear.com. That's gettunnelbear, all one word, .com. And get a free trial today.
Do you know they have over 10 million users?
Yeah.
10 million users.
It's a beautifully designed, well-run, really good service.
It's bonkers. GetTunnelBear.com. Thanks to Tunnel Bear for supporting this episode. I thought we could start with a little bit of humor. Did you guys see this Galaxy Note 7 versus iPhone 6S speed test?
I saw how bad it got beat.
If you haven't seen the video, this is pretty much how it went. It was like the iPhone put the Galaxy Note 7 over its knee, pulled down its pantaloons and just spanked its tushy. That's pretty much a reenactment of what happened. And normally I don't like to do the whole Android sucks, you know, like we all like Apple stuff, fine, but people who like Android stuff, although their sanity is questionable, we don't make fun of them here on this show. You can go with whatever you like. But I do think it's hilarious that this new device from Samsung got pretty much lapped in this video. In fact, it did get lapped. So they were opening up apps side by side. And the iPhone was able to go through this test over twice as fast as the Galaxy Note 7, which is crazy because they always put top-notch specs in these new devices, and they always tout how fast the processors are. It has double the RAM of the iPhone 6S, and yet the iPhone is still twice as fast. And it's the comments were hilarious to me because people were saying, oh, this test isn't a real-life test, and it's not a fair test, and this is great. It's not a fair test because Android has to be installed on 1,000 different devices. It's not optimized for any one device. And people were using that as an excuse on why it's not a valid test.
That's not really a good reason, though, is
it's not a terrible reason. It's the whole point. It's the whole point of the test.
Right.
Is that Android has to be installed on all these thousands of devices, and so it's not optimized perfectly for any one device. And the iPhone obviously is. So even though it may not have as fast a hardware, it just goes to show specs. You can't go by specs, right? Because Apple optimizes the hell out of their software. And so you end up getting performance that there's just no way you would get unless, like Apple, you're making the OS and you're making the hardware as well. Check out the video. If you haven't seen it, I'll link to it in the show notes. It's good for a lol, LOL. I think you'll enjoy it. So let's talk about some iPhone stuff. The iPhone 7 Plus dual camera is all but confirmed. In fact, I think this confirms it. Did you see the picture of this Taiwanese superstar, Buster?
Yeah.
I know you did because this guy, you're super into Taiwanese superstars.
Right. I don't know his name, but he looks cool.
He looks super cool, actually.
Is this the guy that hung out with
Tim Cook when he went to Taiwan?
Oh, probably. That's a good
remember
question.
He hung out with a Taiwanese superstar and they were doing some music thing on the GarageBand?
I forgot about that.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Is it the same guy?
Probably. So the guy's name is Jimmy Lin, Buster. And he was photographed outdoors it looks like an iPhone 7 Plus. And my immediate thought was, dude, somebody photoshopped this. This is so easy to Photoshop. He just changed the camera lens and put in something that looks like a dual lens system. But apparently this guy has gotten his hands on advanced units before. Yeah. He had a picture of himself outdoors with an iPhone 5 in 2012 and the iPhone 6 in 2014. And both devices ended up being exactly what he was pictured with. So I don't know how this guy is getting his hands on these units. I mean, if he's doing dance lessons with Tim Cook, Leander Caney, that might explain it.
It's the same last name, Lin. This is okay. Jimmy Lin. The other guy was JJ Lin, and he's from Singapore.
Really? Their names are that similar, and they're both getting picked. Are they both hanging out with Tim Cook?
It looks like it. I mean, I just did a 3-second search there, but
okay. Well, that's conclusive evidence then.
Take it from me. Yeah, I don't think it's the same guy. No, it's a different guy.
Okay. So
yeah, but how is he getting his hands on this stuff?
Well, that's the question, right? I mean, they haven't even announced the keynote event yet, and this guy he's already walking around in public with this phone. Do you think Apple gave it to this guy, Leander?
No way.
Yeah, there's no way. He must have got it. You know,
you sources.
If it is the real or something. Thing.
Yeah, is it just a modded one? Yeah, that looks like it.
Right. It could be a knockoff, couldn't it?
Yeah, a clone or something.
I mean, I guess it could be. Because I guess if you had an iPhone 7, you're out in the wild using it. Couldn't Apple shut it off or something? Because clearly you're not supposed to be walking around with it in public.
Yeah, right, I guess. I don't know. Can they shut stuff off? I mean, I don't think so.
In any case, I think this confirms it. We're getting a dual lens system. If there's any doubt in your mind, for me anyway, this totally confirms that's happening on the iPhone 7 Plus. And now I'm really not sure which phone I'm going to be getting. I'm going to have to see what Apple ends up offering in whole. But it's going to be hard to turn down a dual lens system, don't you think, Buster?
Yeah, you gotta upgrade to that, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be a drastic change, I think.
Unless just the iPhone 7 camera is just the most amazing single lens camera ever, then maybe. But
that's a good point. It depends on how good the low light situation is on the iPhone 7, mm-hmm. because they're making the, as we talked about many times previously, they're making the camera sensor, it looks like it's going to be bigger, which could mean some crazy good low light sensitivity, which might be good enough for me. But in any case, let's talk about the 2017 iPhones. For those of you that have been listening for a while, you know that next year is a big year for Apple. It's the 10th anniversary of the iPhone, and I think that they're going to be blowing the freaking doors off, and they're going to be doing something big, especially if this year ends up being a minor update, as we're all expecting. And there's two rumors that have come out recently that predict that Apple is going to be doing something major with the screens, or at least one of the screens on the iPhone. And the rumor is that they're going to a larger 5.8-inch AMOLED display on an iPhone model that has yet to be released. So there's going to be three different iPhone models in 2017. And the crazy part is, the rumors are saying because the screen is so large, Apple is going to have to do something to make the screen fit on the phone, because it's going to be a 5.8-inch screen on an iPhone 8 Plus body. And so they're saying that the screen is going to have to be curved, or is going to have to be similar to the Samsung Galaxy Edge phones. You know, have you guys ever seen one of those Samsung Galaxy Edge phones?
Yeah,
in
they're
person?
Nice. They're nice looking. Yeah,
they're cool. But that little strip of screen that is down the side is kind of funky, and I'm not sure exactly how useful it is, or if it's just a gimmick. Do you guys think that Apple would go and do something that was so similar to a Samsung Galaxy phone? I can't see them doing this.
You mean like launching a larger screen iPhone like 2 years after Samsung did it? No.
Yeah, but launching a larger screen iPhone is a lot different than implementing a feature that is so clearly, definitively something that Samsung has been owning. You know, like everyone has larger screen this and larger screen that, but this is going to have, if the rumors are right, those edge, you know, screens down the sides of the phone. Like that's something that Samsung does.
Yeah. They don't copy Samsung, but I mean, I can see that if those screens, you know, are probably available from other manufacturers, or I think they'd only do it if there was a functional reason to do it. If it added something functionally to it.
They're gonna have to do more than just borrow this. If they release something like this that looks like the Samsung Galaxy Edge, it's gonna, people are gonna nonstop.
It might have the perception that they copy something, but they don't. You know, that's not how they operate, is it? I mean, they're looking. It's a 3-year effort to industrialize these new products.
Yeah.
To go from like a prototype to something that's been churned out in the millions, and you know, they were working on these live screen iPhones, you know, sort of three years before they were launched. And if it's true they're working on these things now, it's because I think, you know, there's the capability, the technology to build edge phones. But I think they'd want to have a functional reason to do it, you know. So they're not going to copy the feature from Samsung and then go, oh, what can we do with this? I think they're going to be approaching it from the other direction, saying, you know, we want to do something, and this is, and it's done with a curved screen, and then they'll implement it.
That's the big difference between Apple and other companies, isn't it? Is they don't have pointless innovation. They don't put features in their products that are just cool but totally pointless.
Well, right, because Samsung was doing that. You know, like a couple of the Galaxy phones from a couple of years ago were famous, weren't they, for having all of those different things, stickers, and it was like a shotgun approach to different features. You could do so many things with this. It was completely mind-boggling. I think, you know, like the eye tracking, the biometric eye unlocking security thing now is like a little bit of that kind of thing, isn't it? They tend to throw a bunch of features and see what sticks, and I think Apple's the exact opposite.
I think when Apple implements the biometric scanning stuff on the iPhone, it's going to be probably fast and more seamless. From what I've seen on the new Galaxy phones that carry that feature, it's not very quick.
No, and you've got to make some weird googly eye faces, and you've got to pull the thing backwards and forwards. It looked kind of gimmicky.
I mean, I don't really think it's that inconvenient to you to hold the camera right in front of your eye and then use one hand to pry your eyelids wide open. And then you have to look directly at the sun to make sure it gets enough light to scan your retina.
Laser in there, yeah.
Shoots a laser into your retina, and the fine print says Samsung cannot be held liable for laser retina damage. Right. But, I mean, it allows you to unlock your Galaxy S7 in like a record 3 seconds. So,
yeah.
So it's a cool feature. Yeah, I think that when, I guess, if Apple implements a feature like that, it will probably be a little bit more polished than what Samsung does. And you're right. They have a shotgun approach. They just throw everything at the wall, and then they just see what sticks. And so you end up with a lot of features that you don't need. And actually, going back to that Android speed test, I found the comments in that YouTube video thread to be really interesting because people were making that same exact analogy where they're like, you know, Samsung just keeps throwing all these features at their phones and you end up with a phone that you end up with a phone with a bunch of features that you don't use, but your phone is bogged down by these features and those features drain your battery and make your phone more sluggish. And so it helps Samsung and it hinders them because people think they're getting a bunch of cool features, but then they realize these features may not be useful, and then they end up with a phone that, you know, is slower than the top offerings from Apple. So it's kind of a
right. But at that point, they're stuck with it for 2 years. So what they consider
yeah, exactly.
So it's like they just ignore them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like Samsung's not going to update the phone either. You have these spin-off versions of Android, all these flavored versions of Android that never get updated again because, you know, Samsung and other manufacturers just don't seem motivated to do that. Let's talk about, speaking of iOS, Buster, let's talk about iOS 9.3.5.
Yes, iOS
9.3.5. We're all running iOS 10, but apparently, if you're running iOS 9, you need to download this thing like yesterday, ASAP.
Yes, you do.
Why is that?
Well, because there's some security flaws apparently that somebody used to hack somebody. I don't know.
So normally we don't even talk about security stuff or these minor updates, but this one was interesting, I thought, because it apparently fixes a serious vulnerability that allows devices to be snooped on. And when I say snooped, tracking your phone calls, tracking your FaceTime calls, tracking your iMessages, tracking really personal stuff on your phone. And the way it works is you get a text message sent to your iMessages, and then you click on it. And when you click on it, it jailbreaks your phone and then installs this crazy encrypted backdoor for these hackers. And the security firm has recently figured out this exists, and Apple just patched it via 9.3.5. But they're not sure how long this vulnerability has been out there. In fact, there are some people saying that it has been out since iOS 7. So this could be something that people have been used to spy on you and get, gosh, all sorts of personal information. Can you imagine your iMessages? Imagine the things people send to each other in iMessage, Leander.
Dude, why are you?
I know you feel me there.
Wait, why are you guys sending bad stuff in iMessages? You should use Snapchat.
I trust iMessage more than I trust Snapchat. Because iMessage is encrypted end-to-end. Snapchat keeps those nudies on their servers forever.
True.
Those nudies are never going anywhere. And I might want to run for politician someday. I don't know. I can't have that stuff coming out. I don't want to have an Anthony Weiner moment.
Yeah. Well, this is weird software because it's been professionally made by an Israeli-based security firm. Mm-hmm. And it's being used to spy on. I mean, so far it's been journalists and like human rights activists that have revealed its origin. I mean, it was revealed this latest one was revealed by a human rights activist in the Middle East who sent it to researchers, I think, in Canada. Then they contacted a San Francisco security firm to dissect this thing, and they were really surprised at the how comprehensive it was. It's a keylogger. It steals passwords. accounts, logins. It snoops on all your communications. It can be used to record. You know, has access to the microphone, so it can be used. If it's in your pocket or on a table somewhere, and you're having a private conversation, it can be used to record that conversation. So they turned into a really comprehensive spying device. And you know, I mean, this is, and like you said, it's encrypted, right? So it hides itself too, and it's really, really sophisticated. The company that makes it, you know, claims it's only used for law enforcement or for legal things, but it looks like governments are using it, repressive governments are using it to spy on dissidents and journalists. And like I said, it's probably been around, it looks like it's been around in one form or another for quite some time. So it's weird because it's, you know, it's the kind of thing that at the moment it's being really targeted. They're going after the whales, particular targeted individuals, but if Apple hadn't patched those holes, you know, there's a possibility that script kiddies could get hold of something or something like it, or a version of it, yeah, and use it to spy on people. I think it's they were also surprised that it used three what they call zero-day vulnerabilities to break into the phone. And you know, a zero-day is like is a vulnerability where the vendors has 0 days to patch it, so it's wide open. And I think that was what they were surprised about, like the number of security holes that they discovered, undiscovered security holes, significant security holes they used to break in.
This is like movie level stuff.
Yeah,
you know, like all those or bad cop shows. You know, like all those cop shows where they're like, oh, we got to figure out who used this device. And these guys go in, like hack the phone and like open it up. And there's all these like crazy graphics flying on the screen and they're able to pull up all this information and like log your calls and all that stuff. And every time I see shows like that, I'm like, this is so dumb. Nothing like this exists. There's no way anyone can do this. And then you hear about this and you're like, oh, shiz.
Yeah, there you go.
This is a major problem. And of course, Tim Cook, it just proves Tim Cook right, where he said, if we create a backdoor for legitimate use, someone's going to come in and take it.
Yeah,
and this is exactly what's happened in this case.
Yeah, it's kind of. Well, not exactly, but...
How am I wrong?
Well, because, you know, this isn't they haven't created an official backdoor. These are vulnerabilities they haven't discovered.
Yeah. Well, so Cook was saying, they haven't created an official backdoor. I guess my point is, though, is that if there's a way to break into your device, someone's going to figure out that it's there and they're going to take it and use it for nefarious purposes.
Exactly, yeah, yeah, right, precisely, yeah. And that's what they were saying, yeah. This is why it's important to lock it down, you know, as much as you can.
It's
a game of whack-a-mole, you know, because it's very hard to you know, someone's going to discover something, and so they keep, you know, updating and patching it to close down all these holes. This is what the jailbreakers use. You know, all the jailbreaks are based upon these security holes that they find, and then they get access to the whole system.
Yeah.
It's kind of surprising that we don't hear about this stuff more often, because you think about Windows and how vulnerable it's been throughout the years to all these different hacks and all these different viruses and stuff, because it's such a huge form factor. They know that if they create a virus, it can control millions of computers. Well, now you have Apple with all these iPhones out there, and you would think that because there's so many devices out there that you would hear about these problems more often. It's surprising. You really don't hear about them that often, though.
Right, yeah. Well, which is how Apple wants to keep it, because it wants to keep that appearance that everything is super secure and safe. But the truth is, there's lots of different companies like this Israeli firm that does exactly this, and then they sell them out to, you know, like the FBI or other companies or anybody, right. Really.
Exactly, yeah. The FBI, that's what you know. The FBI, it's not really clear because they haven't released that much information, but they paid some hackers to break into that San Bernardino shooter's phone.
Yeah. I don't think it was this firm, though, was it?
No.
But it wasn't an Israeli firm, though, too, I think.
Yeah, what's up? They're all Israeli firms. These guys know how to hack.
Yeah, they have a great tech scene there. So.
Oh, wow, jeez. Okay, well, let's move on. Let's talk about one of my favorite topics of all time. Tim Cook, y'all.
Oh.
He just got
paid?
He got paid.
Yeah.
And if you see him at the club...
Say it's on
and
you.
He's just sipping on Courvoisier. He's got a feather in his hat. And he's doing the running man more exuberantly than he normally is. Well, we're about to tell you why. Because Tim Cook, we all know Tim Cook's a rich man, right, Buster?
Yeah, he's fairly wealthy.
I think he's pretty rich.
Compared to me, he's stanky rich.
Compared to you, compared to all three of us combined, he's very, very rich. Like, if all of us were walking with Tim Cook, ahead of Tim Cook, and we all dropped all the money what we had on the ground and kept walking, I don't think he would stop to pick it up.
Yeah.
No, he would just keep walking.
He's like, that's a 10-minute salary for me. Go.
Exactly. So Tim Cook has been at Apple 5 years now.
Uh-huh. Well, no, he's been the CEO.
I'm sorry.
The standalone CEO.
That's what I meant to say. He's been there for like 18 years.
Yeah.
He's been the CEO for 5 years. And he just unlocked a monster bonus, right, Buster?
Monstrous.
How much cash did Tim Cook just get his hands on, y'all?
It was his stock options vested, I think, is what happens. So yep. He was awarded a lot more stock, worth up to like about 106 point something, I think, was when we published it. But that's going to grow,
$106?
Of course, too. $106 million.
Million.
$106 million dollars. $106 million worth of stock. You know what's curious is I wonder if he gets taxed at the capital gains rate on that. He probably does. So it's like long-term stock, so he mm-hmm. probably pays 15% tax on that.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question, actually. Yeah, I wonder what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably not the rate of earned income. And he got it. It was awarded... what, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
But it only vested recently, so I guess it just became his property now. So maybe it isn't long term, it could be short term. In any case, Tim Cook's estimated net worth is now around $650 million. $650 million.
He's approaching that billion, the big B mark.
Yeah.
That's what he's going for. He's going for that big B, y'all. So he tells all his friends. They're all excited for him. And he'll probably be there in the next, I don't know, 10 years at this rate. If he's getting $100 million every 5 years and Apple stock price keeps going up.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is like if he holds on to that stock for 5-10 years and it splits again or something like that, you know, the value grows. He's, you know, going to make a lot of money if he stays around for a while.
But as far as actual Silicon Valley CEOs go, you got to think about it this way also. He's the CEO of one of the richest, most powerful, largest companies on Earth. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't he be worth $1 billion?
But he's not the founder. He's just the CEO. So that's...
He's just a hot help, yeah.
Yeah, so that's another thing is like, is Tim Cook underpaid or is he overpaid? And, you know, I think... The thing is Tim Cook may be properly compensated, but you have a lot of other Silicon Valley people who are like super overpaid for, you know, he will barely make the top. He'll probably make the number one spot on the top CEOs list, but just barely because there's other guys that are getting 90, 80, stuff like that.
And you know what makes me feel good is at least he's getting it for running a good company.
Yeah,
and
at least he's doing
a running
good
a company
job.
That's making a good product. You know, he's not running it into the ground and then putting on his golden parachute and jumping off with $100 million. Didn't you say Melissa Mayer from Yahoo?
Oh, yeah. She made a lot.
Didn't she make like $90 million?
Something
in
like
her
that.
Tenure there?
I think so.
And Yahoo sucks now even more than it sucked then.
Yeah.
I mean, what does Yahoo do?
Nothing.
And she made $90 million, or was it $90 million? Is that the right figure? It was something like that.
I don't know. Yeah, it was something insane. It might have even been more. But yeah, who goes to Yahoo? When was the last time you went to the front page of Yahoo.com?
I mean, I don't know anyone that uses Yahoo. I don't know how Yahoo stays in business. I don't even like saying Yahoo unless I'm jumping off something that's very high off the ground.
They still have a whole bunch of legacies. I mean, I used to work at Lycos, and Lycos had a huge zombie. It was like, you know, it was kind of like Yahoo was now. You know, it had a big homepage. It was like a big portal. Uh-huh. They had a lot of email users. They had people check in, like, news and sports scores. That stuff, you know, takes years to kind of kill, even if you really... try and actively, you know, destroy the business like Yahoo's been doing for a while.
It's so ingrained, yeah.
Yeah.
Some of their websites actually aren't bad. Like Yahoo Finance is actually my favorite. If I'm looking for stock prices or something, because their interactive graphs and stuff, I think, are much more polished than Google's.
They used to have a great movie site, you know, where you could go see movie trailers. Like, it was much, much better than Apple's trailers.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of it, really.
Yeah. It was okay, yeah.
God knows is it still up?
Maybe.
I have no idea. I haven't visited.
But they used to get some exclusives, too.
They used to get exclusive trailers?
Yeah, so you could only see it there sometimes.
Interesting. Yeah, they get a lot of legacy stuff, don't they? They got Flickr.
Yeah, Flickr was great at one time. Flickr was amazing, wasn't it, at one time?
It still has a huge user base.
Yeah, it's been killed by Instagram and 500px, I feel like.
Yeah, although 500px has gotten to be super weird now, too.
Yeah.
They're going for that stock photo.
You know, back
now.
It was like 10 years ago, or maybe 15. You know, they were kind of like Google is now. They were in the hot seat on the web. They were doing all the interesting stuff. You know, they had a whole bunch of like pipes. Remember that? And there was like IFTT, an early version of that. They had all the developers, you know, like we're really excited about using sort of like Google, Yahoo's like infrastructure. Well, I don't know, infrastructure. They had Delicious.
That's right. Del.ish.yes.
Right.
Which I still thought that was a great idea, but somehow they made it really crappy. Because it was like you could see all what your friends were browsing and stuff. So, but it didn't work.
Yeah, it seems like every time Yahoo absorbed a property, it pretty much died a slow death from that point on. And all the founders would leave, and then there'd probably be like all these like passionless people just sitting in a cubicle. Working on this product, not caring about it whatsoever.
I met some guy at WWDC though, who worked for Google for Yahoo Mobile, and he said that he was given this. He was arguing that Mayo actually had done a really, really good job, and he said if you look at their mobile stuff, they went from nothing to I can't remember what he cited some numbers, and they were kind of impressive in the billions, you know, in terms of what was it? I guess it must have been revenues. Maybe it was millions. But he was really impressed. He was trying to paint this picture that she was being unfairly maligned in the press, and that she wasn't getting credit for really turning the ship on mobile, which I haven't gone and taken a look at, and I haven't read that anywhere. But he was arguing that she'd done a really good job there. But it's kind of too late though.
It reminds me of when you meet someone with a Windows phone and they try to convince you that it's the best platform, and you're like, no, it really just, I mean, let's just be honest, it's not.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to convince you, they're trying to tell you about the 42 megapixel camera, and you're like, I hear all that, but it's not the best.
Yeah.
And they're sold on it, and they're trying to sell you too.
Right. Yeah, that might be the case.
All righty, well, you know what? I forgot to do this. Let me go ahead, before we head to our last story, let me go ahead and give a Cultcast shout out. I said we're going to do this every week, and if you ping me on Twitter, I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. E-R-F-O-N, tell me your name and where you're from. You could get a Cultcast shout out, and think about how popular that's going to make you amongst your friends. This shout out goes to Sawyer Blatz from Indiana. Sawyer Blatz, thanks for listening. Sawyer Blatz says he's a huge fan of the show, and he also told me that he has a pet rat, and sometimes he'll put a little cheese in his pants and let the pet rat run up and down the spam bag. I used to have pet rats when I was a kid, too, and I used to let them do the same thing. It's pretty fun. Let them run up and down your pant leg. Have you guys ever had a rat run up and down your pant leg?
No, thanks.
You know what? It's actually more pleasant than it sounds, and that's cool. Thanks for listening, Sawyer. All right, let's talk about the last story of the day. Kind of a slow news week, but I think that next week is going to be... Don't you think that we're going to get a keynote announcement probably next Tuesday? Next Tuesday or Wednesday? Wouldn't you guys agree? It's coming up.
Yeah, probably.
So this is kind of the calm before the storm. And then the next week after that, of course, all will be revealed. So stay tuned for that. I think next week is going to be a pretty exciting week, and then definitely the week after as well when we finally get new hardware announcements. But let's wrap up with this. Will Apple never learn? Will they never learn, Buster?
About what?
They can't do this.
Oh,
they can't do this.
Oh, this? Oh, you mean build another social network that no one will use?
This is terrible. Terrible. And yet it's coming from such a credible source. Methinks that this is probably in development.
Mm-hmm.
It could be squashed if it ends up being crap. But there's a report out from Bloomberg this week that says that Apple is in the process of developing what seems to be a rival to Snapchat, Buster.
Yeah. I'm not so sure how well that's going to work. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm sure that it won't work at all. I'm positive, actually.
Well,
I'm 100% positive that if they are building a rival to Snapchat, it is not going to work at all.
Yeah. No, I mean, Apple's been really crappy at every social experiment it's done. So I can't imagine it'll be.
It's just
good.
Not their strong suite. Strong suit.
Yeah.
Why? Why? Well, the more I read about this, I kind of came to the conclusion that it may not be necessarily a social network. So the report goes on to say Apple is seeking to capitalize on the popularity of social networks. And they will focus on video in their new app, which lets users record a video, edit it, and apply a filter, add doodles, and then send it out to friends. So my take from that is this could just be a cool way to create videos and send them to people that you know and not necessarily a social network.
Yeah, quite possibly that. If it was something more like another like expansion of the Messages app, because they're adding so much stuff in iOS 10, so maybe it's some new features that will be in there next year, or maybe a standalone app just for quick video editing and stuff like that. Who knows?
And the app is apparently being developed, according to the report, by the same Apple department that developed Final Cut Pro and iMovie software.
Okay.
So maybe they're just making a better version of
iMovie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Snapchat's shown that there's a lot to be done, I think, in the video space, isn't it? That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, with all their filters.
Casey Neistat's app, too. And
yeah.
Just make it easier to, like, you know, instead of hitting a button, just hit the screen.
Yeah, Casey Neistat's app is weird, though.
Yeah.
Have you ever used it?
I tried it. Wasn't a fan.
Yeah, I wasn't
I hate
either.
To say that because, yeah, I was really excited to try it.
It's very opinionated software, and it tries to take the creative process out of making a video so that you just make videos, that you're not intimidated to make videos, and that's cool. I think it has a pretty large group of people using it, but for me, I was just like, yeah, I don't really see the point in doing this. But Snapchat has really become kind of mainstream in the last year.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I was browsing Snapchat and there's like CBS and NBC and I mean all sorts of weird organizations now using Snapchat, and I don't really find it to be as cool as it used to be. Would you agree with me there, Buster? Like it seems
Snapchat?
Like it's just a little bit too old. Yeah, it seems like it's too old man-ish now with all these
man-ish.
All these like
and it's putting you off. You need little tween of friends.
My tween friends and I would like to keep it.
Yeah,
you know.
My mom's on Snapchat now, so it's over.
Yeah, she Well, I know one thing's for sure. Alexi Heath's mom's on Snapchat and the stuff she sent me is not cool.
Whoa.
Not cool at all, but you know.
See, I would think like some people are saying Instagram's over and Snapchat's where everybody's flocking to. Like after the last few years, everybody was there.
I thought that Instagram's new, you know, Snapchat ripoff was getting good. You know, people complained that it was a ripoff, but a lot of people are using it.
It is. It's a total ripoff, and a lot of people are using it. And I'm glad that it exists, but it is kind of strange to follow people who have. A lot of people that I follow anyway have really beautiful photography. That's why I'm following them.
Mm-hmm.
And then juxtapose that to the Snapchat or the Instagram stories they put out, which are total trash and look terrible and have bad audio. And
yeah, but it's alive, isn't it? It's alive and it's immediate and it's easy to do. You know, I mean, it's not supposed to be. That's the thing. Instagram, like I think a lot of old school users think it's aesthetic, right?
Yeah.
And they carefully post up something that's like beautiful and really they save it and they get the best picture and it's trying to put that best face forward. And Snapchat was the exact opposite of that, wasn't it? It was supposed to be unconscious, you know, immediate. It's not something where you try to groom your social your standing, right? It's not where you're trying to improve
it's more,
your image.
Yeah, more personal. I feel like with the new Instagram story, just a pro tip, you can hide all those annoying people's stories by going into the settings.
If you don't want to see any of them, though, right?
Yeah, you could go and just hide all of them.
I wish
stories.
You could just turn off certain people's. But
well, yeah. No, you can turn off certain people's. You can go into the list and select one.
Oh, you
to
can?
Ban. Yeah.
Oh, shiz. There's a hot tip for you.
Hot tip, bro.
Yes, because, I mean, it's just so weird. Like I was saying, some people post these beautiful photos, and then they have a snap or an Instagram story. I can't say it. I keep trying to say Snapchat. And it's like, oh, wow, this amazing, beautiful scenery of this panoramic view.
Uh-huh.
And then you open up their Snapchat story and there's like all this crap on their desk. There's like a half eaten hot dog.
Yeah.
You just heard somebody fart.
So many times
you're
it's
like, what is going on in this video? Like it's totally different in the picture.
So many people post pictures or videos of themselves editing their pictures. And I'm just like, Nobody cares.
Nobody cares about that. Or they use it to promote stuff that they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just bugs me.
I agree.
Leander clearly doesn't care.
Yeah. He wants it to be real like that.
he likes half-eaten hot dogs and loud farts.
Yeah, I can't get with either of them, really, to be honest.
All right, well, we've gone off track sufficiently enough to say we should go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cult casts we have for you guys this week. If you want to come hang out with us on Twitter, I'm at Airfun, Buster's BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. My Instagram is at Airfun. Buster's is Gia Shark, Gila Shark with a G. And Leander's is also L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And we'll see you guys next time.
Next time?
Ah, high energy. Woo! I was going off the rails.
Yeah, man, I feel really weird. I gotta go.
Oh, okay.
What's wrong? You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I just felt like, I felt like I was just walked my whole way through that.
I'm telling you, it's cloud. You're in the cloud when you stop drinking coffee.
Yeah, it's very weird. Maybe I have to go get an espresso.
You gotta, yeah.
I haven't felt this taper strange. Off of this dreamy for a while. Yeah, the doctor said, cut out a couple of cups at first, you know, wean yourself off it.
And you just went cold turkey,
screw
you, doc. Right. What do you know?
I'll be fine. And I felt okay this morning, but I'm feeling weirder and weirder.
Yeah, I felt the exact same way, and I just couldn't think, couldn't focus.
I'm not going to show up at home tonight, am I? They're going to be like, where's Leander? And then they'll be like, then you'll see my face on those little flyers. Have you seen this man wandering around?
I don't want to alarm you, but there's a high chance you're going to die in the woods tonight.
Okay.
You might want to go get some coffee, dude. You got to make up for lost time, too. You got to go in there like you just went to the bar and just do one shot after another.
Down. Yeah, right. Slam that tumbler down.
Give me another. The barista is going to be like, I think we're going to have to cut you off, sir. Give me another.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go over there right now. There's a place right across the street.
All right. Take it easy. Don't croak on us.
Okay.